Psalm 145, verse 8.
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of every mercy.
Psalm 145, 8. Acts 15:18.
Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15:18.
Jeremiah 16:17. For mine eyes are upon the ways of man, and I see all his steps. Jeremiah 16:17. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our service today. I want you to realize that over the many, many years of communicating God's Word, I've never done what we're doing here today. And that is, I want you to know that I've spent many years in study in relationship to the original language of the New Testament, which is the Koine Greek, but only 1 year in the seminary with the subject of the Old Testament Hebrew. And so I'm not trying to present to you today that I have a long suit in relationship to the subject, but I do feel like that there are some things that you and I need to know. And so as a result of that, we have an insert for you today in relationship to the letters of the Hebrew language, the alphabet. We're going to look at that in a few moments. And also we're going to remind you how fantastic the book of Psalms is in relationship to this magnificent teaching of the Word of God. So in the light of all this, may we bow for a moment of prayer before we begin our study today. Father, we realize how important it is to open our hearts and minds to the wonderful Word of God. We are aware of the fact that you've given us so many great blessings in life. And out of all the wonderful blessings, we have this magnificent book, the completed canon of Scripture. We have God's Word for us. It's our roadmap. And so we're thankful today that you provided for us everything we need, that we can have a fruitful, abundant, abounding life. We realize that Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. And so we are here today as a result of your grace. We're here to advance our knowledge of your grace. And we thank you that you've given us that which we need, the wonderful book, the Bible, and the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, so that we can advance and grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that you'll be with us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the screen, you're going to see now Psalm 119, verse 8, which says, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from thy word. This is found in Psalm 119. It's verse 18. And that will be our key verse for this first session. If you will, please take your insert and you will notice that Psalm 119 presents to us the 22 Hebrew letters. Those letters are found on the back page here and on the front page of your insert. And I'm not going to go through all these other than to remind you that Psalm 119 is the longest chapter of the Bible. It is divided into 22 sections, each titled after a letter of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. I enjoy trying to say these because I've practiced, and what's interesting is that there is a tune on the internet that sings all of these letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And you should have heard me practicing, listening to this lady sing all these, how to pronounce all the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. I can tell you that the first one is Aleph, and I can tell you that the last one is Tav. So immediately I've just informed you of my intelligence in relationship to these letters of the Hebrew alphabet. If you'll notice, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter of the Bible, divided into 22 sections, each titled after a letter of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Each of these sections has 8 verses. What's amazing to me, if you'll notice, please, that the Alpha, the first letter of the alphabet, covers Psalm 119, 1 through 8. Beth, the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, covers Psalm 119, 9 through 16. Gimel is the third one, which is Psalm 119, 17 to 24. Now, what I'm not going to do is to go through all of these, but I'm letting you see that each one of the letters of the alphabet will entail 8 verses in the Psalms. So you'll notice that if you'll go down, for instance, to Zion, which is number 7, it covers Psalm 119, 49 to 56. All the way through to the end of the chapter, you will discover that the last one is the last letter in the alphabet, Tav, which is including 169 to 176 of the 119th Psalm. How interesting is all of this? What I want you to be able to see is that I have on the opposite side of this page how to pronounce all of these letters. So when you get home today, you can begin to pronounce the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. On the screen now, you're going to see the first letter and the last letter. And I want you to take a look at this, look at it for a little while, so that you'll be able to understand that what we're having here is a presentation in relationship to the first letter of the Hebrew language and the last letter of the Hebrew language. Also, all of you are aware of the fact that in the Greek language, you have the first letter is Alpha and the last letter is Omega, Alpha and Omega. All of you remember that, I'm sure. And we understand that throughout the magnificent Word of God, Jesus is presented over and over again as the Alpha and the Omega. If you go, for instance, to Revelation 22:13, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. If you go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, you will discover that Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. When you go to Revelation 1:17, you'll discover that Jesus is presented there as the first and the last. That's the Alpha and the Omega. If you go to Revelation 2:8, you will discover that Jesus also is presented as the first and the last. That's the Alpha and the Omega. When you go to Revelation 21:6, you will read there that Jesus is saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. What I'm trying to do is to let you see how fantastic it is when you discover Jesus being the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last and everything in between. So now you understand that what I'm trying to do is to get over to you that Jesus Christ is presented in the Word of God as the first and the last and everything in between. When you come to the Old Testament, the Hebrew language and the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, you will start to discover that the first letter is Aleph, which I have enlarged for you on the screen. You will notice also that the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Tav, is the way we pronounce it, and you will see that it is presented to us on this diagram that we have for you. For you to be able to see it more clearly, I try to put this, I hope you can see from where you're sitting. You'll see that there is Alpha in the Greek, Aleph in the Hebrew. We have Omega in the Greek. We have Tav in the Hebrew. So what I want you to do is take a good look at what we're presenting to you in the letters of the Greek, of the Hebrew alphabet, the first and the last letter. Now, will you do me a favor and go to the first chapter of the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, and go to verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. What we're going to do is to see that there's something unique that we probably don't notice all that much And that is that you will see that the first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1, says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, you're not going to be able to see this clearly from where you're sitting, but I'm putting the verse on the screen for you, and I'm going to talk about it so that you will be able to see it. If you'll notice, for instance, that the word, first word, in the beginning, is a noun. And the Hebrew is B-A-R-E-S-I-T. Now, that's a noun, in the beginning. The next word is bara, which is the Hebrew word for to create. Then we have, for instance, another word, which is Elohim, which is the word for God. Now, please understand the reason why I'm giving you this is because not to try to teach you Hebrew, but let you see that word one, word two, word three in the Hebrew language of Genesis 1:1 is God created in the beginning. But literally, it says, in the beginning, created God. Now, following that, there's an interesting thing that's presented to us. Many times, people don't even know this and don't even think about it. I'm trying to let you see now, and I'm putting this in larger letters. We'll have in the beginning, then we have God, and then if you can see, and I'm going to try to underline this, if you can see the next word, most of you are able to see it. If you're not, I'm going to be able to tell you that the next word, which is actually not a word, is letter one of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, and the next letter that is found here is Tav. Now, this is not a word that is translated from the Hebrew language. But this is a word, if you want to call it that, but in reality it's not a word, it's two letters. It's the first letter and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's found right there in Genesis 1:1. Now, let me tell you what we're concluding. This is a revelation of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is hidden in Genesis 1:1. Now stay with me and see how beautiful this is. In the Hebrew language, you have word one, word two, word three. When you get to the fourth word, it is not actually a word. It is the first and the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, when you come to Alpha and Omega, Jesus said, "I'm Alpha and Omega." What we have here is the first letter and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, saying the same thing, that Jesus Christ is actually, "I'm Alpha and Omega, I'm Aleph and Tav." Now you're following me and you're able to see how fantastic this is. So I tried to explain it in this fashion. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the way we translate it. Translators do not translate those two letters. I'm translating those to let you see that it's in the original language. The fourth word of the original text is a word that has been omitted from the English translation. And this word reveals Jesus in a profound way. I could say that over and over again, but it's very important for me to let you see that the words of the first verse in the original language, the Hebrew language, you have in the beginning God, and then you have the two letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Actually, the word omitted is not a real word. I've said that already. And that is the reason translators did not handle it or put it into the translation. The omitted word, not a word, but two Hebrew letters, first, last letters, of the Hebrew alphabet. How many times do I need to say this to get it over? I want to get it over. So I'm going to say it over and over again so that you will leave this place today understanding that in the original text of the Old Testament from the Hebrew language, the fourth word is not a word. It is made up of two letters, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So we have Aleph and Tav. We translate those two letters in this way. In the beginning, the A to Z God created the heavens and the earth. Now you know, and I know, that there's not a Z in the alphabet of the Greek New Testament. But what we're trying to get over here, if Jesus says, I'm the first and the last, that means he's Alpha and Omega. That means he's Aleph and he's Tav. That means he's the beginning and the end and everything in between. Got it? Okay. We translate those two letters in this way. In the beginning, the A to Z God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus reveals in Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. What a fantastic verse that is, Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. This is an emphasis upon the total work of Jesus Christ, including his preexistence, his existence, and his eternality. So we see Jesus revealed in Revelation 1:8. That is precisely what the two Hebrew letters are saying. I'm the beginning, I'm the end, and I'm everything in between. So we're seeing it like this today. Genesis 1:1, Jesus said. In Revelation 1:8, Jesus said, I'm the A, and I am the Z, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is, the one who was, and the one to come. So is it clear now? You know, I had fun when I was typing all this out for you. I came to the point when I said to myself, self, if I ask those people over and over again, then I'm going to ask them, do you get it? Are you understanding what I'm saying? And I'm going to say, is it clear now? And so I believe it is. Who created the world? This hidden Genesis 1:1 tells us who did it. Jesus. But not revealed in the first verse of the Bible, even though it is revealed by the fact that the two letters of the Hebrew alphabet are found there. In John 1:3, we find all things came into being through him. Apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. What I'm trying to let you see is that the members of the Godhead, deity 1, 2, and 3, are all involved in every aspect of every detail of the wonderful, magnificent Word of God. So you go back to Genesis 1:1, and do you find Jesus there? Of course you do. We've seen it, and it has been revealed to us very emphatically today. So John 1:3 says, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Jesus, then, is clearly identified as the Creator God, the A to Z God, who created everything that was created. I'm taking a look at this, and I'm amazed at what I'm finding. I find a profound confirmation of the identity of the man, Christ Jesus. So we go back. And we reread Genesis 1:1. When we go back and reread it, we read it in this fashion. In the beginning, the A to Z God, Jesus, created the heavens and the earth. The reason why I'm emphasizing this is because I want you to see that when you open your Bibles now to Psalm 119, you'll discover that here we have 22 presentations of 8 verses each. Each of these 8 verses begin with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. I've already said it, and I repeat as I begin to share with you only one section of this today. The Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, is found in Psalm 119, the first 8 verses. All right, in your mind, I want you to be able to see that as you make your way through the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, you will find 8 verses in Psalms 119 in relationship to each one of those 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph is Psalm 119, 1 through 8. Beth is Psalm 119, 9 through 16. Gimel is Psalm 119, 17 to 24. So I'm not going to repeat all this. You have it in hand. I want you to take a look at the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, if you will, please, let's go to Psalm 119, and we're going to go down to verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18. If you'll notice, picking up with verse 17, we have here an emphasis on the third letter of the Hebrew language, which is Gimel, G-I-M-E-L. Begins with Psalm 119, 17 through verse 24. So there are 8 verses there. So now I want you to understand that what I've done, out of all the things I could do, I decided that I would select 3 of the Psalms of 119 and present information in relationship to the wonderful Word of God. What I'm going to do is to show you what I've done in dividing and presenting to you this magnificent study. In Psalm 119, verse 18, we have an emphasis upon what I call the wonder of the Word. God's Word is so magnificent. You and I must realize that there's not another book like the book called the Bible. When you go to Psalm 119, verse 105, which we'll study at the second session today, we have an emphasis upon traveling the Word way. I found many different ways that I could express this, but I thought that's the best way I can say it. You and I have the responsibility of traveling the Word way. In other words, let the Word of God be so important to us that every day of our lives we allow the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mentality of the Heavenly Father, to be a part of our existence. So we're traveling the Word way. Then on Wednesday night, we'll be looking at Psalm 119, the last section, which is the Tav section, and that is spiritual understanding. What I want to thank you, first of all, is that you listen so attentively and so well. Now, since you're listening so attentively and so well, you just pull your hat down tight because we're going to move, and we're going to move rapidly. Psalm 119 shows us that the Word of God should have top priority in our lives. I could stay right here. I could talk a long time about that statement, but I want you to see how powerful this is. Psalm 119, out of all the Psalms, 176 of them, Psalm 119 shows us, along with the others, that the Word of God should have top priority in our lives. It stands as the giant among the Psalms. It is the longest psalm, as all of us know by now, the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. What I found out was interesting was that some fellow who was going to be hanged some years ago, the noose was around his neck and he was ready, and they were delaying just for a few moments, and they said, the last thing that we would like for you to do before you or let down and killed by this noose hanging, we'd like for you to have us read your favorite verse, favorite chapter in the Bible. And he didn't say Jesus wept. He said Psalm 119. I just wanted you to understand that. I don't think you got it. Anyway, if you're about to die and they're going to have read scriptures, you would want not Jesus wept read. You'd want the whole 176 verses. All right. It's the longest psalm and the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. Since the book of Psalms is the longest book in the Bible, again I repeat, it shows us the priority of praise and worship to God, an emphasis upon the power of the Word of God. Now, since Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible, it shows us again the priority of God's Word, even to God Himself. Now, notice how I said that, because I want you to see that this is telling us that to God Himself, the Word is very important. The psalm is an acrostic or alphabetic psalm in which there are eight couplets beginning with each of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. I'm going to ask myself a question. Preacher, have you said that before today? Yes, I have. Are you going to say it again, preacher? Yes, I believe I will. I just want you to understand that I'm trying to get over something, and you have to hear it over and over again for it to sink in. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. It shows us the priority of God's Word, even to our Heavenly Father. The psalm is an acrostic or alphabetic psalm in which there are eight couplets beginning with each of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. You will also notice that each line in each of these couplets throughout the entire 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, each one of them is capitalized. It begins with a capital letter. Very important for you to see. Thus, the first eight couplets begin with the Hebrew letter Aleph. We would compare that to our A, of course. The next eight with Beth, which we would compare to B. There's no C in the Hebrew language, so we have the word Gimel. And so we would let that be as compared to the C. So now you're seeing that we have eight verses, Aleph, eight verses, Beth, eight verses, Gimel, eight verses right on down the line. Only a very few of the 176 verses lack a direct reference to the written Word of God. Now notice, please, what I just said. Only a few of the 176 verses lack a direct reference to the written Word of God, such as Psalm 84, Psalm 90, Psalm 121, Psalm 122, Psalm 132. However, there are synonyms used such as law, testimonies, statutes. What's amazing to me is when you get into every line of Psalm 119, you will actually find some reference to the importance of the Word of God. Although there are some obvious themes running through the Psalms, the overall structure seems to be determined mostly by the alphabet arrangement. It is the A to Z of God's Word. How fantastic this is. By now, you should have in your thinking, there are 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. By now, you should have clearly in your mind that Psalm 119 has sections of eight verses all the way through the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. What is interesting is, when you look at a man like Spurgeon, Spurgeon had 398 pages on the Psalm 119 in the book called Treasure of David. I found out that Charles Simon had 19 sermons on random verses from it. I'm just going to share today a few magnificent concepts from this wonderful chapter. I wanted you to see that if we got into the Psalms and we taught chapter after chapter after chapter all the way through to the end of the book of Psalms, we would be here for years. So I just want you to see what I'm trying to do and to give you an overview, give you a synopsis, give you the opinion that you can see that the Lord Jesus Christ is found in every book of the Old Testament, including the Psalms. I'm calling this the wonder of the Word. I just have to stop for a moment to let you see that no book compares to this book. No book should be treated. This book should be treated better than any book anywhere. because this is God's Word. I'm always reminded of my father-in-law. If he saw someone put a hat on the Bible, he'd go and take the hat off the Bible. In other words, he felt like nothing should be stacked on top of the Bible. I would imagine if I came to your home, I would find your Bibles. Many of you have many Bibles. And you probably would find, and I wouldn't want to embarrass you, but I would probably find things stacked on the top of your Bibles, just like you might find at our house. I want you to know that the first message that I'm wanting to present is the wonder of the Word. Then traveling the Word way, or I try to say on the Word way. In Psalm 119, we have a consistent journey in God's Word. What I'm trying to emphasize is we walk God's way when we allow the mind of Jesus Christ to saturate our thinking. When we have the Word of God and admire and enjoy the wonder of it, we habitually desire to obey the Word of God. The Word way is the only way. The Word way is the way of uprightness. The Word way is the way of sincerity. The Word way is the way of wholeness. The Word way is the way of happiness. Time and time again, we will repeat the general subject of Psalm 119. It's the Word of God, our rule for life. How true happiness is found in the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Could I pause for a moment before I move along here? To tell you that you and I should have a respect for the mind of Jesus Christ, like which we have no other respect for anything else. We have the Word of God, the completed canon of Scripture. God has seen fit to give us this magnificent book. We should admire and appreciate and love the content of the Word of God. I'm trying to emphasize today again the fact that no matter where you find yourself in even Genesis or Exodus or Leviticus or Numbers or Deuteronomy, wherever you find yourself, you're going to find Jesus there. We found Jesus today in Genesis 1:1 when we found the two letters of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph and Tav, when we understand that Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, I'm the Aleph and the Tav. I'm the first and the last and I'm everything in between. The question that I have now is, if we come to Psalm 119, who's the author? Well, we know without God, without doubt, that God is the author. There's no question about that. But whom did he use? That's a question that we have. Could it be David? I'm aware of the fact that there are many concepts and ideas in relationship to different ones who were responsible, humanly speaking, for the Psalms. Could it be David, when he was in exile among the Philistines, as recorded back in 1 Samuel 27:11-12? It's interesting to see that someone has said perhaps it was a young man who had been taken into captivity, removed from his home, and away from his country, and who was facing temptations, who was facing allurements, who was facing idolatry. Of course, I realize that this is conjecture. I learned a long time ago that the word conjecture just simply means guessing, and so I understand that. What do we know? This is God's Word. We know that for sure. I would encourage you to write these things down because it's very important to see it. What do we know about Psalm 119? What do we know about the Psalms? What do we know about the books of the Bible? It's God's Word. Secondly, it's Holy Spirit directed. Third, it is a repository of truth. A repository of truth. It is of a value that cannot be measured. No doubt about it. When I come to study this magnificent Psalm, here's some conclusions that I have. God's Word is the only way to know and really love the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you and I can say we love God. We can say we love the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we don't really love the Bible, and we don't really love to have the content of the mind of Jesus Christ, we can say we love God, we can say we love Jesus Christ, but in reality there's something lacking. The only way to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ is to know and love the Word of God. The second thing you'll see on the screen is there has to be consistent intake, which leads to occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you noticed what all is in today's bulletin? I'm telling you, you can get a lot of spiritual information right there. And we don't talk a lot about it, but magnificently presented every week, wonderful presentations of the Word of God. And it's in today's bulletin also. Consistent intake leads us to be occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ, building this wonderful spiritual house of the soul. The third thing, the Word of God received while filled with the Holy Spirit, leads us to be emphasizing Jesus Christ as number one in our lives, occupation with Christ. The fourth thing you see on the screen is the Word of God is the source of vertical viewpoint. If we want to see the way God sees, we have to see through the teachings of the Word of God. Very simple, but very, very important. And then the last thing we mentioned today is God's Word produces stability of soul. I'm here to remind all of us, and we know this without doubt, there are many people today who name the name of Christ, say they're Christians, but they're living a life that is a life of frustration, confusion, perplexity, not happy at all. This is so sad because people have chosen not to obey the teachings of the Word of God and utilize the Word of God on a day-by-day basis. God's Word produces stability of soul. Now, that was a quick overview. We'll go to another passage in the next session. May we pray together, please. Father, we are thankful today that we're such privileged individuals that we have the wonderful thinking of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're aware of the fact that life at the longest is so short. When we think in terms of 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years and compare that to 1,000, a million, a billion, a trillion, we realize how important it is for us to give attention to the eternal things. And for those who hear the message who've never really accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, they're living actually on borrowed time. We do not know when life will come to a close for any of us. So help us to be aware of the fact that we need to major on the major aspects of life and minor on the insignificant aspects of life. The major aspect of life is our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that He loved us so much that He was willing to send His Son, the Lord Jesus, to this earth to go to the cross and to bear the sins of the world. And the Bible simply tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Father, we're thankful today that we can see from a divine viewpoint. We can see from a vertical viewpoint. We can see as God sees if we're seeing through the content of the wonderful Word of God. We pray for those who need to trust you now that they will do it even at this very moment, because we know that you've said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and everything in between. And so it's very, very important that we have a proper relationship to our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that there will be those who will trust you even at this moment. And we realize that the Bible teaches us so plainly that as many as received Him, Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that call upon His name. Thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mystery, the Lord of the universe. Christ our God, spilling His holy blood, bowing in anguish, His sacred head. Sing to Jesus, Lord of our shame, Lord of our sinful hearts, He is our great Redeemer. Sing to Jesus, honor His name, sing of His faithfulness, pouring His life. Our great Redeemer.